all day long. For more blues, tune in Mondays at 6 p.m. for Blues and Hi-Fi with Clint Broussard. 90.1 FM, KPFT Houston.
Oh, you better play your guitar for me.
Ruffled beat of Clouds Below Your Knees by Ray Lynch means it's Thursday, 10 p.m., and it's time for So What's Your Story, the coolest place on your dial because it's the only program originating in Houston devoted entirely to storytelling right here on listener-sponsored 90.1 KPFT Houston. I'm your host, Dr. Hank Rubichek, professor of communication at the University of Houston downtown, along with our indispensable Shannon McKerchy. You know, storytellers often take us on journeys with a special kind of spirit leading our way, ultimately showing us a chapter in their lives that resonate wildly with our own. At least, that's the plan. But sometimes, a teller's narrative reaches to a level we call extraordinary. And my guest this evening has such a narrative. Jackie Young is the executive director of the San Jacinto River Coalition and a member of the EPA's Community Advisory Committee for the San Jacinto River Waste Pits Superfund site. She's a graduate in environmental science from the University of Houston, Clear Lake. Jackie focused her research on environmental issues in the town her family called home, Highlands, Texas. Moreover, she assisted a joint research project between UHCL and the U.S. Department of Homeland Security, Science, and Technology, located at the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. It's a study that evaluated small coastal communities in both Texas and North Carolina in order to understand what facilitates and hinders post-disaster housing recovery. In 2013, Jackie took a position full-time with a local nonprofit, Texans Together Education Fund, to work toward removal of the Waste Pit Superfund site located in Highlands. Now, since then, she has served as a panelist and guest speaker at the EPA Region 6 Environmental Justice Workshop and submits technical reports to the EPA on the community's behalf. The waste pits have been featured in over 35 news stories, and local support has grown to over 2,000 supporters. In 2014, Jackie was selected by Citizens League for Environmental Action Now, Clean Houston, for the Houston Heroes series, People Who Make a Difference. Most recently, Jackie incorporated the San Jacinto River Coalition as an independent nonprofit organization with a mission to protect water resources, public health, and Galveston Bay's precious estuary from the harmful effects of toxic waste. Her efforts as an environmental activist were launched when she was a junior at UHCL when she discovered her surrounding environment was likely the cause of her family and animals' illnesses. And her untiring commitment to fight environmental justice is, in many ways, passion incarnate. That sounds like a long resume, but I have to tell you something. We have only begun. And Jackie, welcome. I'm so glad you're here.
Thank you. Thank you for
having me. This is exciting. This is really exciting. I know you've been a guest on KPFT before with Pat Greer. And in fact, very recently, Shannon trapped you coming out of that show, out of that station. I'm so glad she did because Shannon always knows a really good thing when she sees one. Now, I know you became an environmental activist in your junior year in college, right?
Correct.
Now, that's an unusual thing to decide to do when you're a junior in college. I mean, right now, you look like you're probably 16. But I guess you're older, right? You have done so much. You've done so much at your age. Now, did you know that you would major in environmental sciences before starting college? How did that whole interest generate?
No, I didn't actually. You know, I think most folks growing up in Texas either want to be an Aggie or a Longhorn. and I didn't have interest in either.
Yeah, careful, everybody. You know, we have a lot of them listening. Now they just tuned out.
Oh, no.
Much.
I didn't grow up in a household that mm-hmm. was full of Aggies or Longhorns.
Right.
And when I graduated high school, I knew two things. I knew that I loved the beach and mm-hmm. that I was good at organizing and planning. So I moved to San Diego. And I enrolled in college as a communications major.
Very good. Right.
Yeah.
And then what'd you do with that?
And I did not end up finishing that degree.
Right. Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. A lot of my students don't end up finishing that degree. Right. I teach communication. They catch one whiff of me and they're out the door and they're specializing in something else. What were you going to do with your communication degree? I'm just curious.
I wanted to go into broadcasting.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. All right. You could have worked here and had all of this.
I could have.
I know. Listen, your story is very unique because, as you pointed out a little bit earlier before the show, you've never really, at least on air, you haven't really put this in a personal narrative form before. And I know that that Pat asked you some very pointed questions, which had a real scientific and complex topspin and sometimes very technical for many people. But in this case, you're going to tell us a story, right?
Absolutely.
And this story has not only a very, very personal framework, but it also has a great deal to do with the passion that you feel for what you do for a living. So tell us the events that led to your career.
Well, actually, what triggered my interest in environmental science was deep soul searching, really.
Tell us your story.
So going back to high school, we moved, as you said earlier, to Highlands, Texas. It was actually my mother's dream home. It was a beautiful ranch. And within the first year of living there, I began experiencing health issues. For example, my knees kept giving out on me. And I thought, well, you know, I've ran track for 6 years. Of course I have bad knees. I always made excuses, and so did my family. So fast forward to when I graduated and I moved to San Diego. My dad actually began experiencing significant health problems, and he was hospitalized a couple of times while I was away, and it was extremely hard being so far when my dad wasn't well. So I moved to Austin, Texas, next best thing closest to home, so I thought, and I was still in college as a communications major, and my parents convinced me to move home because every couple of months, I started getting sick. So here I was in my early 20s, and I moved back home to Highlands, Texas as a communications major. And I'm sorry, I know that's your area, but I was searching for something, for more. I was not crazy about what I was learning in school. So my parents encouraged me to take a random semester and figure out what I was really passionate about and what I liked so that I'd get a degree and be happy with the career paths that were available to me rather than having a degree that I really wasn't interested in the career path for. So I thought back, you know, what was my favorite class growing up? And it was earth science, actually. So I took my first geology class at Lee College, and I fell in love. It was literally the first semester where I looked forward to my 8 a.m. classes. I mean, I was just through the roof over geology and the things that I was learning in college.
The kind of interest, you know, as you take a breath, the kind of interest, when you talk about soul searching, for example,
mm-hmm.
When you talk about the class that you took at Lee College,
yeah.
You know, a friend of mine who works at NASA told me that the way he became an astronaut, or I should say he's not an astronaut, but he became interested in astronomy. He thought about being an astronaut is that one day he looked at the sky and he realized, you know, the stars aren't aligned the same way. And he was curious, and it mm-hmm. just struck him that this is something he's really interested in.
Mm-hmm.
What happened that got you interested in environmental science? What in particular? What signal? What clue? What did you become inspired by? What happened?
Well, you know, moving forward to make the transfer from mm-hmm. Lee College to U of H Clear Lake, mm-hmm. I was incredibly intimidated by the degree plan. You know, I thought no way could, you know, could the social butterfly take all of this calculus and chemistry? But I kept pushing forward, and it was actually in my junior year of college when I saw a water report, or a news report, rather, on KHOU that said Houston's tap water is radioactive. And it was an investigative report, and there were several parts to it. And I was in a hydrogeology course. So I decided to compare city water sources to private water sources. And my family's home was supplied by a private groundwater. So I thought, you know, here I've envisioned myself as a future geologist, potentially, you know, traveling overseas and going to other countries to help them with their water infrastructure. Because I just felt that, you know, and I feel that it's our right to have access to clean and pure drinking water. And to think here in the city of Houston, people are consuming radioactive tap water just baffled me.
Continue telling your story. What happened to your family? What happened to the house? What happened to the move? What happened that really got you interested in your career?
Right. So around that time, my health was failing miserably. Yeah. After I, you know, moved back home, my health just steadily declined. Hmm. And, you know, we couldn't figure out what was going on. Doctors couldn't figure out what was going on with me. Hmm. In my early 20s and through college.
What were some of the symptoms? What were you experiencing?
So by 2011, I was losing my hair. I'd lost 30 pounds. I had actually got to the point of losing use of my hands. Motor skills were failing. Wow. And by 2011, I was having as many as 7 seizures a week.
Oh, my goodness.
I was incredibly unstable.
Yeah. And what did the doctors say?
The doctors couldn't come up with an explanation.
They could not.
No, not at all. And they were coming up with things like, well, you know, maybe you're anorexic or maybe you have an eating disorder. Mm-hmm. Because they could not find a textbook explanation for what was going on with me.
Yeah.
It was extremely frustrating and very hopeless.
What happened then?
Well, you know, my mother and I were absolutely determined that I was going to graduate college. I had to get registered with the Office of Disabilities to protect myself when I missed class or in class as well to have certain services because I couldn't use my hands. So my mother was actually doing everything for me, from getting me out of bed to clothing me, feeding me, driving me to class, walking me to class. I mean, how embarrassing, you know, 20-something-year-old and her mom is walking her to class.
Right.
But that was my reality.
Yeah, yeah.
I thought, you know, I can't even open a bottle of water. I can't lift a jug of milk. Will I ever move out? Will I ever be on my own?
What was the transition to you actually getting into this career? What happened that actually got you into doing what you're doing now?
So it was the summer of 2011, mm-hmm. With the water reports I'd seen on KHOU, I was in a hydrogeology course. So after seeing those reports, I thought, okay, I'm going to compare the two water sources. Yeah. And I collected samples from various city sources and various groundwater sources. And all of the groundwater kept coming back with a pH of 9.5, mm-hmm. which is high. I was expecting to find issues with the city water. I thought, and my family thought, that our home was supplied by a pristine well. And once I started getting back the 9.5 pH, I thought, well, maybe my test kits are expired. Maybe this is a bad brand.
Right.
So I would get, you know, new brands, make sure they weren't expired, make sure I was going through all the correct protocols. And I consistently got back a 9.5 pH for 2 weeks. And it was one of those water samples that changed everything.
Yeah, that was it.
That was it.
Right.
That was it. It was that research project where one of the samples that we pulled from the well had flakes of iron in it.
Wow.
Literally visible with the human eye.
Yeah. That's incredible. That is amazing. You know, an inside look at Jackie's personal journey and efforts at the San Jacinto River Waste Pits were recently published in the April edition of Texas Monthly Magazine. I read that. It's a magnificent article. I'm Hank Grubachek with Shannon McKerchie, and you are listening to guest storyteller Jackie Young on So What's Your Story? Always live and only on 90.1 FM KPFT Houston, 89.5 in Galveston, and 90.3 in Livingston, or kpft.org if you're listening online. But whatever avenue you travel to get here, I am really glad that you are here. Changing the shift, let's just shift for a moment. You know, the best storytelling group around happens to be our proud sponsor that I need to recognize, the Houston Storytellers Guild. And if you're smart enough to attend our story swaps held on the third Tuesday of every month from 7 and 9 p.m. at the Multi-Service Center located at 1475 West Gray, you'll be finding yourself loving the art of telling more than you dream possible. Check out our great site at www.houstonstorytellers.org for events, fun happenings, and more. And please be sure to visit our So What's Your Story Facebook page, where you will delight in the poignant, punchy, and powerful posts produced by Shannon. How about all those peas? Right, a little alliteration for you.
I like it a lot.
Yeah. Tell us about the rundown. What are we going to find there, Shannon?
Well, you'll find everything from information about our storytellers every week to events around town, like such as the Moth this week.
Right.
And a few weeks from now, it'll be the Story Swap at the Multi-Service Center. And I also post articles about all things storytelling, such as the storytelling secrets of the new masters of radio, inside interview with Walt Disney, the storyteller, Story Slam, the National Storytelling Festival, as well as the art of observation and why genius lies in the selection of what is worth observing.
Wow, pretty comprehensive stuff. Thank you, Shannon. I love it. We've got another terrific guest next week, Dr. Michael Winter. Tell us a little bit about him, please.
He is a very interesting guy, a licensed psychologist, and he wants to share some family-themed stories. He comes from a big family, very close-knit of 16 people. Yes,
yeah.
So he has plenty of stories.
And that was just in one bedroom. Right. Down the hall, we had another 14.
And storytelling was very important to him growing up, especially with his grandparents, the bond with his grandparents.
Yeah.
So he has a lot of great family stories up his sleeve.
Yeah,
so
we don't want to miss that. We don't want to miss that. But why would we want to miss any week, right? Is there possibly a reason why we'd want to miss? Of course not. Thank you. Thank you, Shannon, so much. If you've got any questions about storytelling, program ideas, if you'd like to be a guest on this program or recommend someone else as a guest, send me an email at drhank@kpft.org and I will get back to you. Jackie, you know, I like digging a little bit deeper into topics that frame the stories told by the guests on this show, and it's always fascinating. And you're like everyone else. You're a remarkable person. You really are. And that's one of the things that makes this show so special.
Thank you.
These are common folks with uncommon tasks and uncommon stories, and you really are very remarkable. And after reading some of the material that you sent me about the Coalition and Texans Together, I found this remark made by biologist Edward O. Wilson that I think speaks to your ultimate mission. Perhaps the time has come to cease calling it the environmentalist view, as though it were a lobbying effort outside the mainstream of human activity, and to start calling it the real world view. And I think that your next story centers on your current work, doesn't it? And it sort of hitchhikes off of that. Tell us about your current work.
All right. So currently, I'm the executive director of the San Jacinto River Coalition. And to kind of go back to the quote you just read, you know, I never saw myself doing what I do now. I never thought that I would be an environmentalist, but I am. I am an activist. And you know, I'm seeing that by grassroots efforts and by efforts like what the San Jacinto River Coalition are doing, you can have an impact on the process. But going back a little bit to kind of finish up on how I got here, it was that water sample that really changed everything and figuring out that it is the environment, you know, that's making us all sick. And through that and through my own family's health struggles, I was led to the San Jacinto River Coalition. And I want to tell you the story of when I met them. It was when I was at my sickest and, you know, hot summer here in Texas. And my mother came home from the grocery store and she came in my room. I was sleeping in the middle of the day because I wasn't well. And she said, "You've got to come to the grocery store with me and talk to these folks." I said, "Mom, really? It's like 110 degrees outside. I'm not well. What do you mean?" And she said, "It's the San Jacinto River Coalition. They have information that we need." At the time, I was researching day and night trying to figure out what was making my family and our neighbors so sick. And when, so I went, she got me out of bed, got me dressed, and in 110-degree weather, we went out and I met the San Jacinto River Coalition. And we began volunteering with them and basically fighting for removal of a known toxic source in our community. Now, the environmental issues we face here are complex, but the waste pits are a known source of highly, highly toxic and carcinogenic materials. So we are working to see that they are taken out of their vulnerable location, literally in the San Jacinto River. And unfortunately, we are up against big industry, that big businesses that don't want to remove the waste. And the local residents, the community members that live there and have lived there with this burden for over four decades, want the waste out of there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, Houston is getting larger. It's getting just more and more congested. What kind of impact is that going to have on waste?
Absolutely. Well, yeah. We're going to continue to create more of it. And so my focus, you know, there are groups out there that are focused on, you know, what we're doing currently with our waste and how it's handled. I'm focusing more on the historical, on the legacy issues, because as we continue to grow and develop and our population increases, we're going to need more room.
Yeah.
Right. And we have, our city is, in fact, littered with Superfund sites and toxic sites that we need to get
Houston
cleaned
toxic
up.
Toxic legacy is not a pretty picture. There's no question about it.
No, it's not.
Yeah. So what are we going to do about the increased waste? What are we going to do about that?
Right. Well,
I know that's not a very profound question, but what are we going to do?
Right. Well, I think that that is actually a hot topic, you know, with Mayor Parker's One Bin for All and deciding, you know, what is our city going to do? Because it's a fact, we all know our population is increasing rapidly, and we have to do something. So, you know, I'm working to remove toxic waste and hopefully be effective in that and protect human health as well as the environment in doing so.
How's your mom feeling? How's everybody feeling in your family right now?
Well, you know, my mom actually, because I was so unstable, you know, she put me first and just wanted to get me back on my feet.
Yeah.
So my mom is just now starting to get the medical treatment she needs. So we're just now, you know, starting to go through that with her.
Right.
And, you know, unfortunately, my dad became one of the cancer statistics that my mother and I would go door to door and talk to our neighbors about. And my dad went out in the yard one day to pick up a portion of the fence and broke his back. And he broke his back because over 80% of his bones were filled with cancer, and we didn't know. But he has been in remission now for a few years. In fact, he has multiple myeloma. There's no known cure, but he is kicking cancer's butt.
Yeah.
He really is.
Good for him.
Yeah.
God bless him. What about you? How are you feeling?
Well, this has been an off week for me.
Yeah.
I have my flare-ups and I have my issues. I'm kind of in the experimental phase right now trying to handle some issues that I have, unfortunately, with my reproductive organs, which is not fun for a female of my age with, full life, hopefully, in front of her.
Right.
So.
Well, you seem energetic. You seem upbeat. You're optimistic.
Thank
hopeful,
you.
Hopeful. Right? That's got to amount to something.
Past my bedtime.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, that's right. There you go. Absolutely. It's not past your bedtime. It's past my bedtime, not your bedtime. What, roughly how many people do you think is suffering the kind of illness that you and your parents felt? I know that's a tough question, but it is so overwhelming. It's so devastating. I'm curious if you have any idea how many people suffer from the same ailments.
Right. Well, within a few miles of the waste pits, there's over 16,000 people currently. And the waste has been there and mm-hmm. has been releasing into the surrounding environment since the 1960s. So it's really unfathomable how yeah. many people have been impacted.
Yeah, no kidding.
But the Texas Department of State Health Services recently confirmed cancer clusters in that area and found some pretty alarming rates of cancer in all ages and in children as well.
Yeah.
So, I mean, literally, if you live in Highlands and you're a child, you have a 16 times greater chance of developing a particular type of cancer than anywhere else in the state of Texas.
That's amazing. That really is. That is amazing. You are enjoying guest storyteller Jackie Young, executive director of the San Jacinto River Coalition, only on 90.1 FM KPFT Houston. Naturalist David Attenborough, the younger brother of director and actor Richard Attenborough, doesn't think whole populations are villainous, but Americans, he says, are just extraordinarily unaware of all kinds of things. If we lose knowledge and understanding of the natural world, they're going to mistreat it and will not ask their politicians to take care of it. What's your thoughts about that contention? Does that make any sense to you?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, I think mm-hmm. we live in a world, and here in America, we have a society that thinks that we have government agencies that are looking out for our environmental quality. And when in fact, we have to be proactive.
Yeah.
We have to take a proactive yeah. stance to protecting our health and the environment, because we if we don't act now and if we don't take this approach, what's it going to be like in yeah. 20, 30 years?
Yeah. Jackie, how do we help? How do we contact you? How do we become a part of the coalition? How do we donate? How do we give our time? Talk to us a little bit about that. Who do we contact? How do we contact you?
Well, you can reach me at jeyoung@texanstogether.org, and
okay.
that's my email.
Right. You and can, Shannon will have that, right? Very good.
Great. You can follow us
for those of us who can't write that fast or remember.
Yes. you can follow us on Facebook, the San Jacinto River Coalition.
Beautiful.
And
mm-hmm.
you can also follow us on Twitter. I actually, since we are newly established and branching off from Texans Together, I don't have an independent website, but you can find all kinds of great information still available on texanstogether.org. There's a San Jacinto River Coalition tab mm-hmm. with the whole story.
Beautiful. Tell us, just sort of in a synthesized way, tell us what we need to remember from these two very poignant stories that you shared tonight, how you reached your career and what you're doing now.
Right. For one, my story, I don't think, is uncommon. I don't think, you know, the struggles that my family's gone through, it's not unique. I think thousands of Americans or Houstonians are going through health battles, and they don't realize that it very well could be the soil in their front yard or the water that's coming out of their faucet.
Right. And what should we be aware of right now in the future? What should we know about what's happening in the future?
Right. Well, these yeah. There are environmental fights going on right yeah. here on our home front. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I like to say, if we don't fight for our communities, who will?
Yeah. No kidding. Mm-hmm. The passive compliant position simply doesn't work.
Right.
It just doesn't work.
Yeah.
Changing Houston's environmental legacy is indeed a personal matter. Thank you. Thank you so much, Jackie. I know this was a last-minute thing, but boy, this was really worth it. And I thank you so much for being here. Thank you for the striking landscapes that you painted so beautifully throughout your poignant narratives. You're nothing short of a community hero. How did it make you
thank
feel when you.
You
were a community hero, by the way?
Oh, it was a great honor to be selected in
yeah.
a series along
yeah.
with some of the people I absolutely look up to.
Yeah. Yeah, that's so cool. That is so cool. Scooter's up next with The Inner Side to complete the backside of this Power Hour on KPFT. Make 90.1 a part of every day, and while you're driving home, turning in for the night, or just chilling out, just join us every Thursday at 10 p.m. for So What's Your Story and ease into the weekend right. You keep loving a great story, and I'm going to keep bringing them to you. Be good to each other. Till next week, I'm Dr. Hank reminding you that it is never too late to live happily ever after. Peace.
Hello, this is Wayne Murray, your local station board chair. I'm here to invite you to the KPFT Town Hall meeting on September 12th, 2 p.m. at the St. Paul Baptist Church, 8309 Brandon Street. We need to hear your views, needs, and concerns. Come join us at the St. Paul Baptist Church at 8309 Brandon Street at 2 p.m. on September 12th. Look forward to seeing you.
Estimados oyentes, mi nombre es Adriana Casenave, miembro de la Junta Directiva del KPFT. Quiero invitarte el 12 de septiembre a las 2 de la tarde a la Iglesia Bautista San Paul, 8309 Brandon Street, donde nuestra radio llevará a cabo una reunión comunitaria